are here in Honolulu, Hawaii at NAFQ's 50th annual conference with Mr. Doug Leeton from Visa. How are you, Doug?
Good, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Good to see you again. Yeah. I think we were in New York last time we talked. We're very bi-coastal.
Seems like yesterday. Yeah. Seems like yesterday. Hey, we were talking before the recording about how credit unions can get their cards top of wallet,
right,
even with e-commerce and mobile commerce just off the charts as far as spending goes. So what can a credit union do these days to be top of wallet so they can ensure they can stick with the trend with mobile commerce and all this stuff that's going on?
Yeah, I mean, that's where all the growth is happening now, right? So retail spending is growing at like 5% a year. That's regular face-to-face transactions. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and we all know e-commerce is exploding. Yeah. It's close to 20%. But mobile commerce is growing at 47% a year.
That's amazing.
Right? And all of our data shows that consumers, members that are shopping on these devices, mm-hmm. shopping either at websites or shopping using mobile commerce, mm-hmm. they're overwhelmingly using the default card. Right, 74% of all e-commerce transactions, you're using a card on file. Over 80%, 87% of mobile commerce transactions, you're using the card on file.
Right.
And that's because members are looking for efficiency mm-hmm. and simplicity. Right.
Yeah.
So it's so important for credit unions to be thinking about, how do I get my card to the top of the wallet mm-hmm. or the top of the merchant's payment credential where they're storing all that information.
So how do they do that? Yeah, I think you explained like three things of how they can, well, the third one was the big one, but if you want to go through three.
So we've got some interesting data on how you can maintain top of wallet status.
Okay.
And I think it's appropriate not only to maintaining it when you have it, but also getting there if you don't.
That's the big step.
So the number one reason people change their top of wallet card at a website is because the card expired.
Yep.
Right? That's me.
Mm-hmm.
I do that.
And there are tools available that will automatically update that expiration at participating merchants, right?
Okay.
For Visa, it's called Visa Account Updater. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you're leveraging those so you don't become, if you're already there mm-hmm. at top of wallet, you mm-hmm. don't lose it because the card simply expired, right?
Okay.
So you're giving the merchant the new expiration date. Everything just moves right along, mm-hmm. right? The second reason is they don't trust the merchant platform where the card on file is stored.
Okay.
Okay?
I get that. Yeah.
So there's tools like Visa Checkout, mm-hmm. which doesn't give, doesn't allow the merchant necessarily, not necessarily allow, but doesn't promote the merchant storing it. Mm-hmm. You have the payment information tokenized mm-hmm. and stored with Visa, and then that payment information is just transmitted for that particular transaction.
Makes sense.
Right? The third, and this is where I think is the most interesting,
yeah.
the third reason that people change their card when it's the default position is that they got a better offer from another financial institution, right? So they got better rewards or incentives.
Yeah, I would be all over that.
Yeah. So what a great opportunity for credit unions to look at the type of reward structures they have on their products mm-hmm. to encourage that. So here now you're going to display somebody else's card. But the point is, there's a lot of different reasons why people change their default cards. Mm-hmm. And almost everyone the credit union is in control of, whether it's to provide the incentives to move it to the top, or to make sure that they've got the right risk tools, they've got the right services like Visa Account Updater mm-hmm. that keep it there when it already gets there.
Mm-hmm. So what can a credit union do, though? I mean, obviously, get those tools in place.
Yeah.
And because that means half the battle is getting that card top of wallet.
Right.
Once you're there, you're good, you know?
Yeah, right. And that's going to be increasingly important as we move into a more Internet of Things type of environment payments, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Visa and Payments.com did a study together about the what they call like the super connected consumer, mm-hmm. the super connected member.
Mm-hmm.
And we found some really interesting stuff. For example, the average member has got 4 connected devices, say. That's just the average member.
Wow.
And 76% of consumers, 76% of members, mm-hmm. have got a connected device other than a smartphone, a laptop, or a PC.
See, now that's a big one. That's that's something that makes me go like, what?
Yep.
What would it be? Like Alexa?
It's just like Alexa. Something. This would be like a smartwatch, activity tracker,
mm-hmm.
Even something like a video game console. You know, those other ways that you're connected in.
Yeah. They all have that. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we all know that payment is increasingly going to those types mm-hmm. of devices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when payment is in one of those devices, whether it's Alexa or whether it's in an activity tracker, it's really hard to change your payment preferences then.
You're right.
And our data also, that's in this report that's available at payments.com, mm-hmm. showcases that members are looking to their credit unions to provide that functionality right? We maintain that high level of trust. Mm-hmm. And we also are recognized as the organizations that can create that speed, that efficiency, which everybody is looking for in their payment transactions, right?
Oh, my gosh, Doug.
Yeah.
So amazing. I mean, just how it's evolving is just amazing. And the speed of which it's evolving is even more amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are next steps for us here?
So I think the next steps are, first off, focus on your card on file members, right? So the members that are shopping online, and use your own data to identify opportunities to upgrade those folks into the default position, right? You can look and see how people's spending behavior is. You can look to see if they're paying bills to somebody else, you know, direct to a e-commerce merchant, and seek to create the right incentives for them to change their behavior to put your payment card, your issued payment card, in the default position, right? So, and then take those learnings, and you're going to apply them into this increasingly growing field of Internet of Things, because really then you're only going to get one shot. You know, once you provision a payment credential into a device, it's highly unlikely that you're going to provision a second one, or that the member is ever going to change that.
Right.
You know,
unless
if you're
going
to use a watch and, you know, go up against something, you're not likely to change that.
Right. Unless something goes haywire with the card or the account or something like that, that's when you got to bite the bullet and change it. So, but other than that, it's once it's set, it's set.
So it kind of leads us down the path of there are four things, that credit unions should be focused on.
Okay.
First, they need to make sure that their payment credentials can be tokenized so they can participate in things like Apple Pay and Samsung Pay and increasingly tokenized card on file and all Internet of Things that will be tokenized, right? So enabling your cards, your payment credentials for tokenization is critical. The second is take advantage of services like Visa Checkout, that for those consumers that don't want to put their payment credentials on a website, they still have that fast, efficient way to make those transactions. Also, those are increasingly tokenized.
Okay.
The third is take advantage of all the risk tools that you have in place. You know, at our last discussion, we talked about 3D Secure and, you know, how fraud is moving into the e-commerce environment with the EMV migration getting near completion. Well, those same risk tools can also help you make sure that your transactions are the safest, and your members will appreciate that, and they won't experience fraud or on their accounts that could also lead them to take it out of top of wallet, right? Right. And then the fourth thing is, we have to be put our product strategies into the minds of our members, and if our members are increasingly going to be looking for fast, efficient payments, they're going to be tokenizing into one of these many connected devices that people have. We need to make sure that we have product strategies that are properly incenting them to do that, right? So either incenting them to move it to top of wallet or incenting them to keep it there and recognizing that once you get to it, there's going to be a long, you know, there's going to be a long trail of transactions on the back end that's going to warrant, or excuse me, it's going to justify the investment.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. As the whole Internet of Things just blooms, explodes, whatever term you want to say, which is happening right now, you got to have that card there, or else, they're just, once you, like you said, once we'll set it and forget it, you know, and you know, get one shot at it.
Just a few years ago, just think from like an acceptance standpoint, just a few years ago, we had about 30 million acceptance locations, right? 30 million across the world, you know, merchants. And this is not individual terminals. This would be like, you know, Target would be one,
right?
You know, we had 30 million acceptance locations. And then you have an innovation like Square that comes along. And now we're talking 44 million, right? Same sort of thing is happening with the Internet of Things, in which we've had 3 billion cards for many years. And all of a sudden, we're going to have 44 billion devices that are going to be capable of payment at some point in the near future, right? That's a lot of places for your members to have their payment credentials stored, and it's a lot more transactions that you're going to be able to that you may be able to support on behalf of your members.
And it keeps your financial institution, credit unions in this case, top of mind,
top of mind,
top of mind.
Right, right. And you're continuing to create those high revenue generating transactions that you can in turn take that money back into member services.
And deepen that relationship that much more.
That's exactly right.
Good stuff, Doug. Man, thank you for those stats and stuff. Very revealing, very enlightening, and hopefully it gets some folks to act, you know, especially as times change.
That's right. I mean, we're happy to work with our credit union partners to help drive these types of strategies.
Right on. You heard him. Doug Leaton, everybody. Visa, well done.